ഇതായും വിശ്വഭാഗവരണം സഭരദ്രാചാര്യ അഷ്ടപുത്ര ശിരശേഷിമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദകി ജയം തേല പ്രവിഷ്ടോ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശിരശേഷിമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയുടെ പ്രഭുപാദകി അനന്ത കോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദകി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്കി വയം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനകി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ് പരിധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി Oh Pranandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhaleshwari Bhaktivedanta Swami Rinamini, Namaste Saraswati Ivan Gauravani Prajarini, Narvisheshwinyavari Paschati Deshadarini. Sanjay, can put that thing here. Just move to the front a little bit away from me. Let's sit here. You can sit here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Ajnanatimirandasya
Jnananjanashalakaya ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകഥാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരും ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദം സഹഗണലളിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തി സിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി ഇതി നാമിനി ശ്രീ വർഷമാനവീ ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയെ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദൈതേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീ ഗൗരഗുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനതാരിണേ രൂപനൂക വിരുദ്ധാപസിദ്ധാന്തധ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംഭോദേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനൂകവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിഭവഭൂമിസ്ത്വം നിർദോഷാ സജനപ്രിയാഃ വൈഷ്ണവസാർവഭൗമശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ നമ വംശകൽപതരുഭ്യോശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യൈവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരദ്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തസാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ గోపీశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. జయదం సురదో వాంగో మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సౌవస్వదాం భోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ. దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాదౌ శ్రీమద్రత్నాకరసింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీశ్రీరాధాశీలగోవిందదేవో ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్ రాసరసారంభి వంశీవడతటస్థిత కర్షాన్ వేణుస్వనే గోవేర్ గోవినాథ శ్రీయస్తునాహం. తప్తగాంజన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
సో వాట్ వి టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ Bhakti, symptoms of bhakti, that's what we were discussing, the Bhakti Sutra, which we saw last Saturday, that Sri Narada Maharshi's definition on bhakti, what is a symptom of bhakti, Narada Maharshi answers, that cannot be expressed through words. Therefore, he said the example, Moga Aswadhanavad, he says. Moga Aswadhanavad means that just like a dumb person, he cannot express himself. A devotee also who is experiencing that bliss in spiritual life, he cannot express. That is the situation. Muga aswadhanavad, he says. A dumb person cannot say what he is feeling when he had some pleasant experience. So same way, a devotee also, if you ask him what is his relationship with Krishna, it's difficult to explain that in any particular way, because it is a anubhuti. They call it as anubhuti. Anubhuti means it's something he is experiencing himself, which cannot be put into words. Therefore, after saying that, Sri Narada Maharshi mentions in the Bhakti Sutram that although it is Mukha Aswadhanavad, in the very next sutram he mentioned Prakashyate Kvapi Patre. But this bhakti, what Narada Maharshi is saying here, Prakashyate Kvapi Patre, depending on the person who is experiencing that bliss, through him it will shine in a way which people can understand that bhakti. Prakashyate Kvapi Patre, that means it may not be spoken, but you will feel that bhakti in that person. It will shine through him according to that person's relationship with Krishna. Prakashyate Kvapi Patre, that is how Sri Narada Maharshi says. Earlier he said, Muga Aswadhanavad, cannot say anything, and just like a dumb person cannot express his feelings about anything, similarly a devotee also cannot express himself as far as devotion to Krishna is concerned. But although it is like that, Prakashyate Kvapi Patre, according to the patram, according to the pot through which it's stored, it will express itself in a different way, in a different way. So, we mentioned there also that there are three or four different personalities. So, in order to make us understand better, Narada Maharshi says here a few examples of different devotees who, through them, how bhakti was expressed, including himself. The first person he gives an example is about himself. When he was a little boy and when he was engaged in looking after the sannyasis who came to perform Chaturmasyam there in their house, in the Brahmana's house. So at that time he mentions there that in his previous life he was the son of a servant maid, and there was not much of an opportunity for him. అండ్ దట్ సేస్ ఏసి ధ్యాయద చరణాంబోజం భావ నిర్జీత చేతసాహం ఔత్కండి అశువులాక్షస్తి హృదయాశీన్మే శనేర్హరి. ఈ సైస్ దాన్ ధ్యాయద శరణాంబోజం. శ్రీనారద మహర్షి లెఫ్ట్ హోమ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ ఇన్సిడెంట్ వెన్ హిస్ మదర్ వాస్ బిటన్ బై ద స్నేక్ అండ్ దెన్ హీ హ్యాడ్ నో కనెక్షన్స్ విత్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. హీ లెఫ్ట్ హోమ్ అండ్ వెన్ టు ద ఫారెస్ట్. While in the forest, he was meditating on that form, what was given to him. You have to remember, Narada Maharshi hasn't seen Krishna till now. The sages who were present there for Chaturmasyam, they spoke to Narada Maharshi about Krishna. So hearing from them, he has formed a certain image of Krishna within himself. That is what he is meditating upon. That form which the sages have spoken about. That's what he's saying here. Dhyayadas charanambhojam. He was performing meditation on that form. Bhava nirjida chedasaham. That his bhavam or his mood was at that time that it was because of bhakti inside. He was so attached to Krishna after hearing from the sages that form has manifested in naturally in his heart. Nirjida chedasaha. That he has, without any disturbances, he was completely absorbed in that form. Dhyanam, in otherwise meditation has happened. Aukandya ashrugulakshase hridya shinme shaner hari. That he was absolutely shocked that Krishna is manifested inside like that. Hridya shinme shaner hari, he says. Little by little, Krishna manifested in the heart. Hridya shinme shaner hari, he says in the Bhagavatam. That manifestation happened. Krishna's manifestation happened inside. And the result of what that happened, when that happened was, Narada Maharshi himself says, Premadi Maranarbhinna Puladangodinarvradaha Ananda Samblavam Lino Napashyamubhayam Muni. That the Premadi Maranarbhinnam, that means he was extremely in that loving devotion. He was experiencing that love so intensely inside. He says, Pulagangodi Nirbradaha. The whole body was in an ecstatic experience, like the hair standing up and all other different symptoms which happens to a devotee in association with Krishna. So, Pulagangodi Nirbrada, Ananda Sambhavam Leenam Napashyam Ubhayam Mune. The ecstasy was such, Napashyam Ubhayam Mune. That means there was no more duality in him. Duality has, due to self-realization, Krishna's presence in the heart means self-realization. That experience of Krishna inside, it is not that Krishna manifests and that itself, it has its own impact on the person. So the impact on the person, Sri Narada Maharshi was, Nabhashyam Ubhayam Vini, there is no more two existing, no more duality existing anymore. And Kridhya Sinme Shaner Hari, first thing Krishna manifested inside the heart. When Krishna manifests inside the heart means, there is no more impact of the mind, impact of the intelligence, ego, these things have gone from inside. The result was that Navashyam Ubhayam Vune, there is no more duality existing in him. And that is the state of Samadhi he was going through. Sri Narada Maharshi was going through that state. So you will see there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you read that part in the, in the Bhagavatam, it talks about the Sridharana Maharshi's experiences while Krishna manifested in the heart. ప్రేమాదిభరనిర్భిన్నం పులగాంగోది నిర్భృదాహ ఆనంద సంప్లవం లీనం నాపశ్యముభయం మునేం. దెన్ సమాధి స్టేట్ ద డ్యువాలిటీ హ్యాస్ గోన్ ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్ అండ్ హీ ఆల్సో సేస్ దేర్ నామానందస్య హతత్రవ పఠన్ గుహ్యాని భద్రాని కృతాని జస్మరన్ గాం పర్యటన్ తుష్టమనా గదస్పృహ కాలం ప్రదీక్షన్ విమదో విమల్సరాహ. She says that when this happened, that suddenly Krishna disappeared from inside and he lost that form. In dhyanam, this always happens. Kapila Maharshi also says that. A particular form manifests inside and after a while it disappears. At the end, the form also disappears. The same thing happened to Sri Narada Maharshi. So after that, Sri Narada Maharshi did not know what to do. He was only a little boy. And then suddenly from the sky, a voice came that in this lifetime, you may not be able to see me again. You may not be able to see me again. Handasmin janmani bhavan mamam drashtum iharhadi. In this age here, in this lifetime, you will not see me again. Handasmin janmani bhavan mamam drashtum iharhadi. Avibhakva kashayanam durdarshoham kuyoginam. Avibhakva kashayana means, avibhakva means one who is not matured. In other words, if there is not sufficient purity inside, Krishna won't stay, Krishna will go. So, avibhakva kashayana durdarshoham kuyoginam. Kuyoginam means one who has not reached the state of yoga, what is required. Durdarshoham kuyoginam. So, because it is Narada Maharshi as far as Krishna is concerned, is not pure yet. So therefore, in order to stimulate or to inspire Sri Narada Maharshi, Krishna gave one time a darshan to him. Once, only once. After that, he told him, now you have seen me, so you know that I am there inside, but you may not see me again in this life. You have to carry on. And that is what he said there, that Sri Narada Maharshi, after this incident, he wandered around in this world waiting for death to come. Imagine, it's only a 7 or 8 year old boy saying, when will the death come? That's what he wanted to come happen. Because Krishna told him, in this lifetime you may not see me again, but in the next life you will have my darshan again. So because of that, Narada Maharshi did not want to waste his time here. So every night when he slept, he was waking up in the morning thinking that hasn't happened yet. When is that going to happen? This was Narada Maharshi's consciousness. So in the Bhagavatam it says like this, that Handasmin janmani bhavan mama drashtumihar harim avibhakva kashayanam durdarshoham kuyoginam. Unless one is pure, that is that avibhakva kashayana means, unless one is free from impurities inside, durdarshoham kuyoginam, it is difficult for Krishna to manifest in that heart. After saying that, and he said, mentions like this, that in order to this particular appearance, Krishna's appearance in Narada Maharshi, was only to give him a understanding that Krishna is there, but you have to purify yourself. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Udharedatmana atmanam. You have to work. We have to do our part also. And qualify ourselves so that Krishna will be seen. Krishna will be seen at that time. And then he says that, mainly because this happened because of the association he had with those sages. That was the reason behind it. That this opportunity, because of their mercy, great devotees' mercy manifests like that. That mercy from those great sages has manifested in this way, that Sri Narada Maharshi got the first opportunity to see Krishna in this way. And then he says here, after that, that when Krishna disappeared, and he says how he spent his time. Nama anyanandasya hadatra bappadhan, guhyani badrani kritani jasmaran, Gam Paryadan Tushtamana Gadaspraha Kalam Pradekshan Vimato Vimal Saraha. He says, Namani Anandasya Katatrava Patan. Continuously chanting the innumerable names of Krishna. Innumerable names of Krishna. And without any Hatatrava Patan. Trava means shame. Without any shame, Narada Maharshi was always on a Harinama mood. Harinama mood. Always wandered, alone doing it. Not with the group, on his own. He was doing Harinam all the time. Hadatrava patan. Then Gambaryadan Guhyani Badrani Kritani Jasmaran. Then those names of Krishna, the names of Krishna are Guhyani Badrani. They are auspicious and at the same time very confidential. Unless one understands Krishna's different pastimes, He will not know what these names mean, what the significance of those names. Guhyani Badrani Kritani Jasmaran. Remembering those pastimes of Krishna and chanting those holy names and remembering those pastimes, happiness without any desire. Gambaryadan Tushtamana Gadaspraha. That he was wandering around in this world, Tushtamana, always in a satisfied condition. Gadaspraha. There was no particularly any goals in his life. And kalam pradikshan vimado vimal saraham. Waiting for death to happen. Kalam pradikshan vimado vimal saraham. Remember, Narada Maharshi is telling us certain things here. He was not there to compete with anybody. That's first. Vimalsara. There was no competition. Competition is not for devotee. So he didn't compete with anyone. He says, kalam pradikshan vimato vimalsara. Waiting for the time to come, when can I leave this body? This was his situations. And then afterwards, he says that at the end of that kalpam, that was the last, Narada Maharshi left this body. Left his body and went back to Lord Brahma. And when Brahma goes to sleep for one whole night, which is a long period of time. After that again creation happens. So when creation started, first thing was Narada Muni jumped out of Brahma. First thing. He came out of Lord Brahma's body. So that's what he says here. That 1000 Chaturyugam was finished. That Brahma wanted to create. And that time Mariji, Atri and Angiras and so many other great sages were created along with the Sri Narada Maharshi also came. And when I came out from Narada Maharshi, I was given this Devadatta, the particular veena. The instrument was given to him. And since then, I have been going around in this way, he says in the Bhagavadam, that I have been chanting Krishna's name and wandering around this whole world. So, Sri Narada Maharshi's experiences in the Bhagavadam is an indication of a devotee's feelings, how they feel about it, how they cannot. Then devotees who are pure, in them, through them, Krishna will manifest. This is the gunarahidam, kamana rahidam, pratikshana vardhamanam, sushmataram, anubhava rupam. He says. In other words, gunarahidam, kamana rahidam. This love for Krishna, because it's pure, it is gunarahidam. It's beyond the three modes of material nature. Kamana rahidam. It is without any selfish motives, without any desires. What else? Pradikshana vardhamanam. Every moment it increases. And sushmadaram anubhava rupam. It is in extremely on a subtle level it is happening and it is being experienced by the devotee. So, here, one thing Narada Maharshi says that Krishna is beyond the three modes of material nature, isn't it? Krishna. So, because it is like that, the experience of that devotee is also beyond the modes of nature, beyond the modes of nature. In the Bhagavadam, in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna mentions this. Nurgune brahmanimai dharayan mishadam manaha paramanandam apnodi yatra kama vasiyadeyam. So, triguna atitam, that means trigunam, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. Above these three modes of nature, nurgune brahmanimai dharayan mishadam manaha, that his one who is able to fix the mind in that state, Nirguna Brahma, Nirguna state. Nirguna means which is not like everything in this world is three modes, isn't it? Three modes of nature. There is nothing in this world outside the three modes of material nature. So same thing in Guna, it is called Gunabhavam. Gunabhavam means the influence of the three modes of nature. So, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamagunam, they exist in everything. And it is there in us also. It affects our intelligence. It affects our intelligence. Because of that, the bhakti in a person is also comes in three different forms, which we have spoken about. Bhakti under sattvagunam, rajagunam and tamagunam. Beyond than that is what is known as Nirguna Bhakti. In that state, what Krishna is explaining here is Nirguna Brahmani Mai Dharin Vishadam Mana. That state of bhakti is different than the any other kind of bhakti. Why? Because Krishna is Nirguna. Nirguna means modes of nature cannot touch Krishna. Krishna is beyond the three modes of nature. And because modes of nature has no influence of Krishna, a devotee who has developed attachment to Krishna in that state is also in the Nirgunam state. Although it is in the Nirgunam, Nirgune Brahmani Mayan Dharin Vishadam Mana. Paramananda Mapnodi Yatra Kamam Avasiyade. That means that devotee who has no desires, material desires, and yatra kama vasiyade, freedom from kama, freedom from desires, and who is experiencing the self-realization, state of self-realization, he is considered to be in the nirguna state, nirguna. That means there is no material motivation anymore. It is freedom from all material understanding. Krishna says this to Uddhava. So, desires and bhakti, they cannot stay together. This is one thing. Desires and bhakti, they cannot stay together. When one has desire, when one fulfills his desires, Krishna says that eventually you will get you will feel a disappointment, or you'll feel a dissatisfaction with the sense enjoyment. That is the nature of sense enjoyment. Any sense enjoyment, at the end, some point in time, you will feel, you will want to be released from that, the attachment. That happens, that is the nature of Maya. Maya works in that way. That's why it says here that, on the other hand, attachment to Krishna, if we get attached to Krishna, attachment never decreases, it increases all the time. This is the nature of that relationship. In sense enjoyment, anything we relate with sense enjoyment in this world, with any objects, in any form, through our senses and the mind, that attachment, after a while, will decrease, whatever it may be. You may not value it anymore, and your attachment will come down. Attachment to Krishna, on the other hand, once it gets attached, it keeps increasing, it never decreases. This is a difference in the nature of the attachment. We'll discuss that in the Bhagavad Gita also, the same thing will come. When Krishna says, Mayasakta Manapartha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya, the first verse in the 7th chapter. That's what it's talking about. So, Krishna's point is that attachment to Krishna continuously increases once it is developed. That's what the important thing. Once we have attached, when somebody is attached to Krishna, it is difficult to come out of it. It goes on increasing, it never decreases. Whereas attachment to sense objects, after a while, you will get fed up and you will give it up and you will turn to something else. That is the nature of Maya. Any attachment in this world is like that. That's the point, important thing to note here. That attachment to Krishna means attachment to the soul as well. That means spiritual life, in other words. This is why people find it difficult after a while to leave spiritual life. In spite of all the problems, they keep going with it. Somehow. Na kama karma bijanam yase chedasi sambhava vasudevaike nilaya savai bhagavadottama. Now, this was first one is the experience of Sri Narada Maharshi's expression of his own feeling of bhakti. Now, in the Ekadasha Skandam, if you look, you will see there Hari Maharshi talking about his experience of bhakti to Nimi, King Nimi. That you can read in the canto, in the 11th canto, in the second chapter. Hari is talking to Nimi. He says, Na kama karma bijanam yase chedasi sambhava vasudevaike nilaya savai bhagavadottama. He says, one in whose consciousness there is no more kamya karma bijanam. Kamya karma means motivated action. Any action which is motivated with results. Motivated with results. Kamya karma, even the seed has been completely fried inside. Seed of this Kamya Karma. Kamya Karma means fruitive activity or activities with motivations, expecting results to come from that. That even the slightest trace of that has left him. He has no more kamya karmam to perform anymore in this world, or fruitive activity to perform in this world. The result of that is the kamya karma bijanam yasya chetasi sambhava. That means in his chetas, in his consciousness, he has no more activities to perform out of any material desires or for himself. So pure inside is. When a person comes to that state, Vasudevaike nilaya savai bhagavadottama. Such a person is a first class devotee. Hari Maharshi says this to King Nimi. Hari Maharshi says this to Kimi. So, in other words, bhakti is such, is Bhagavadam says, swadu swadu pade pade. At every step, it gets more and more relished by the devotee. Devotee starts relishing bhakti at every step, and it keeps increasing. Swadu swadu pade pade, step by step. So, and therefore, smaranda smarayandascha mithokaukharam harim bhaktiya sanjadaya bhaktiya vibratyutpulakam tanum. When we discussed 11th canto, we talked about this verse. This is an important verse in the sense, a devotee who is advancing on the spiritual path, smaranda smarayandascha, he says, smaranda smarayandascha, he remembers and also remembers about Krishna and reminds others as well. He remembers himself and reminds others as well about Krishna. That is that smaranda smarayandascha. Mitam akhaugaharam harim. Akhaugaharam harim. That he is excited about that bhakti inside. Attachment to Krishna is such that he only realizes that this is the truth in the whole creation. Nothing else is the truth. Mitho akhaugaharam harim. That means all his sinful activities and sinful reactions have come to an end. And he, because it's pure inside, there is no more sinful reactions inside, that he is able to remember Krishna continuously without any interruptions. And because it is like that, bhaktiya sanjadaya bhaktiya, that the bhakti process, what it has started, it keeps on growing. Bhaktiya, and that bhakti creates bhakti, he says. Bhaktiya sanjadaya bhaktiya vibrat ut plagam tanim. Because of that bhakti keeps on increasing in a person, he becomes very infected with the bhakti. He becomes infected with bhakti. This is the nature of pure bhakti. This is the nature of pure bhakti. So you can see here Krishna's point that anything related to the senses is temporary. It will not last. After a while you will get fed up, you want to leave. You want to give up. But Krishna consciousness or bhakti, pure bhakti, has never stops. It goes on increasing. Even if you want to stop it, you can't do it. Because the very nature of bhakti is like that. Bhaktiya sanjadaya bhaktiya. Once bhakti has developed in the heart, that bhakti will keep growing. To get that bhakti, first thing is the difficult state. That's why he mentions that this is... And then, in relationship with that, Prabuddha says to Nimi. Prabuddha is one of the 9 sages who came with King Nimi. Says to him, Satamayam sarabhradam nisargo yadarthavani shudichedasamavi pratikshanam navyavadachyudasayal striyavidanam iva sadhuvartam. So, Satamayam sarabhradam nisargo yadarthavani shudichedasamavi pratikshanam navyavadachyudasayal striyavidanam iva sadhuvartam. He gives example here. That Sriyam Vidanam Iva Sadhu Artha. Those who are attached to Krishna consciousness, or those who are advancing in the path of Krishna consciousness, in their inside, there is always a desire to know and experience Krishna more. They want to understand Krishna better and want to know what is the higher stages of bhakti. As their bhakti, bhaktiya sanjadaya bhaktiya, as the bhakti increases, naturally, inside that desire for Krishna consciousness increases in a person. It is the very nature of bhakti. But, gives the example here is, Sriyam vidanam iva sadhu artha. Some people who are addicted to sense gratification, when they have particular types of sense gratification they are attracted to, isn't it? Different kinds of sense gratification. And those who are addicted to men, who are addicted to women, they like to hear about that more and more. They want to talk about it, discuss it. And then their mind will go in that direction. They cannot refrain from doing that because they have particular attachment there to the to women. So therefore, Sriyam Vidanam Iva Sadhuvartha, it is difficult for them to discuss any other topic. Why? Because it's deeply rooted in that. That is what he is saying here. Pradikshanam, and everything new, they will always find something new in their topic to discuss about, which you know very well how it, the whole running, world is running on that principle, isn't it? Pradikshanam Nabhivadachyuta Sayan. So similarly, devotees are also like that. Every moment they find something new to engage in Krishna consciousness. They find something more interesting in Krishna consciousness, just like they find interesting in topics related to their sense enjoyment. Just like those who are addicted to sense enjoyment, how they find happiness in expanding their world and enjoying it more through expanding that. Similarly, devotees also, when they develop a taste for Krishna consciousness, they want to understand and improve, expand their understanding of Krishna. It's a similar comparison given here. Sadamayam sarabhradam nisargo yada arthavane shudhi chedasamabhi pradikshanam navyavadachyuta sayal striya vidanam iva sadhuvartha. Sadhus are like that. Sadhus like this. Topic of discussion is interesting for them. So, because this is a internal experience, this love for Krishna is a internal experience, nobody else can see and explain that, what it is, what he is experiencing. Even the person who is experiencing, in that state, it is difficult for him to explain that, because it is only experience, not for, through the words, you can't explain that, what he is, the devotee is experiencing at that stage. So, it is extremely subtle, in other words. And therefore, in the next sutram, you will see, 55, tat prapya, tadeva ava lokayadi, tadeva shrunodi, tadeva bhashayadi, tadeva chindayadi. He says, that tat prapya, one who has reached that stage, tadeva ava lokayati, he is only seeing that, he only sees that bhakti in the world, nothing else. In other words, there is no more attraction for anything. He has lost attraction for this world. And therefore, in that stage of bhakti, Srinarayan Maharshi is saying, what he sees in this world is, tat prapya tadevava lokayeti. He only sees bhakti in this world, nothing, everything is bhakti for him. And whatever we hear, whatever he hears, tadeva shrunodi, whatever he hears, is all relationship with bhakti. Tadeva bhashayeti. When he has to speak something, is his only topic he has got to talk about, bhakti. And what else? Tadeva chindayadi. Whatever time he is absorbed in, if he is not doing anything, he is absorbed in the thoughts of bhakti. Thoughts of bhakti. Bhakti's influence is like that. It is, they call it that, it is like a virus. What is infected, what, when it, once it's infected, then it will grow. It will grow inside. And that is the nature of bhakti. That's why it says here, tat prapya tadeva ava lokayati, tadeva shrunodi, tadeva bhashayati, tadeva chindayati. Then nothing else exists in this world for this devotee. So, in other words, at that stage, then this is talking about a devotee who has got this in extreme subtle level, that pure bhakti, who has got that. All his senses of knowledge, senses of action, everything, is all centered around Krishna. It's all centered around Krishna. That is why it is difficult. Whatever he sees in the world, for him, it is Krishna's presence is important for him. He'll only see Krishna's presence in other living entity. And whatever he hears, it will have some relationship with bhakti. And whatever he does in this world, it will be something to do with Krishna consciousness. And he will see that the whole creation, what exists is only Krishna. That realization comes to him. And in order to explain, this is the anubhuti or experience of one group of devotees in the Bhagavatam, particularly the gopis. Gopis' experience was like that, isn't it? So if you look into the 10th canto, you will see there, തന്മനസ്കാ തഥാ ലാവാ തജ്ജുജ്യേഷ്ഠാ തഥാത്മികാഃ തദ്ഗുണാനേവ ഗായന്ത്യോ ആത്മാകാരാണി സസ്മരും. ഗോപീസ് വെൻ ദേ വർ വാൻഡറിംഗ് അറൗണ്ട് ആഫ്റ്റർ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ഡിസപ്പിയർഡ് ഇൻ ദ മിഡിൽ ഓഫ് രാസ ഡാൻസ്, ദാറ്റ് ഗോപീസ് ഹാവ് കം ടു ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് ദേ വർ ഇൻഫെക്റ്റഡ് വിത്ത് ഭക്തി ഇൻ സൈ, ഗോപീസ് കുഡ് നോട്ട് തിങ്ക് അബൌട്ട് എനിത്തിങ് എൽസ്. കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ഡിസപ്പിയർഡ് ബട്ട് ദേ ഡിഡ് നോട്ട് തിങ്ക് അബൌട്ട് ഗോയിങ് ബാക്ക് ഹോം ഓർ ഗോയിങ് ബാക്ക് ടു ദെയർ ഫാമിലി or doing anything else. Taman manaskam tada alava, the mind was so absorbed in Krishna and they were continuously singing about Krishna. Tadvijeshta tadalpigaha, all their activities were just imitating Krishna. Krishna's different pastimes they started imitating. All the gopis started imitating. One of them performed Krishna's pastimes of killing Kaliya. Another person did Damodara Leela, Damodara pastimes. Another gopi started imitating all that. So you can see there, Taman manaska tada lava tadu jeshta tadalmiga. Shri Sugan Sukadeva Goswami says this about the gopis. That whole body, mind, senses, everything was completely absorbed in Krishna. They could not refrain from doing that. Tad gunaneva gayandyo atma agarani sasmaryum. Then beyond than that, they needed to continuously glorify Krishna. Glorify that gunan eva gayandyo. They wanted to glorify of Krishna's different gunam, different qualities. That gunan atma garani sasmaru. They were saying that they have forgotten about their home, about their family, everything. Atma garani sasmaru. Sukadeva Goswami says this in the Bhagavatam. So that is another anubhuti of the gopis. So you can see here, gopis experience is one way, Prabuddha's experience another way, Srinarada Maharshi is experiencing in different way. So all of them in their own way has their experience of Krishna in different ways. Puna pulinamagatya kalindya krishna bhavana samaveda jagu krishnam tadagamana kamkshidaham. When Krishna disappeared, they all came back to the banks, or river bank, Yamuna river. And what happened that they kept on remembering Krishna, all of them talking to each other about Krishna and waiting for Krishna to come back. They sang Gopika Gitam. In the Bhagavatam, you will see that gopi's state of Krishna consciousness. So, why all these examples given? Narada Maharshi is telling us, bhakti is such a thing that when one gets bhakti, how that relationship between the devotee and Krishna is very difficult to understand. Devotee is experiencing it, but he cannot even express himself. And this is the peculiar nature of bhakti. Bhakti is special nature, which is not true with other processes, isn't it? In yogam, in karmam, jnanam, things are ruled out very well, clearly laid out. And you will understand what jnana margam has to say, karma margam, yoga margam says. But in bhakti process, because it's from the heart, nobody understands that relationship. And because it is like that, samaveda jagu krishnam tad agamana kamkshidaha, that they were peaceful about that. They sat on the riverbank and waited for Krishna to come. And they were totally in peace. Never thought about going back home or going to join. They left their family and come in the night. And they never thought about going back to the family even. So that is the few examples to explain that the bhakti is nature of the bhakti. After saying that, what Narada Maharshi is saying now is the next sutram is Gauni Tridha Guna Bhedad Arthati Bhedadva, he says. In other words, bhakti can be classified into three different categories. Why it's spoken like this is, Kapila Maharshi spoke about under Sattvam Rajasa Tamasa, three types of bhakti he spoke, isn't it? Sattvam Rajasa Tamasa, under the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, how different people have different kinds of bhakti. Then in the Ekadasha Skandam, Hari Maharshi spoke, first class devotee, second class devotee, a Kanishta Dhyayi, in other words, Prakrita Bhakta, they call it. So, these three classes of devotees he has spoken. One is, one one based on the modes of nature, one based on the modes of nature, other one based on the realizations of that devotee. Just like he says, Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashel Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashel, when one is seeing Krishna's presence in every living entity, and he realizes that Krishna is present in everyone and everyone is present in Krishna. That is that relationship. Sarva Bhudeshu Yappashel Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana. And Bhudani Bhagavati Yasha Savai Bhagavadottama. He says that such a devotee is a first class devotee. That is based on the realization of the devotee. That's based on the realization of the devotee. The first one is based on the modes of nature. One classification based on the modes of nature. Another classification based on the realization of the devotee. And also one, Krishna also, there also Hari Maharshi says that one who is in the realized, his realization is that Prayamam Maitri Kribavabhetsha Elkarodhisa Madhyama. Middle class devotees, he said that his realization will be like this. That means he has attachment for Krishna, friendship to the devotees, and mercy to the indifferent, and those who are ignorant, mercy to them, and indifference to those who are envious. Prayamam Maitri Kriva Ubeksha. Ekaryodhisa Madhyama. This is his realization. In that state, it will be like that. Then he also said that somebody who sees Krishna only in the deity at the temple. Ishwareshu Tadanineshu Balisheshu Dushalsucha. That he only sees Krishna in the temple, nowhere else. So that is the nature of that person, that is his realization is like that. So based on the realization, a category of devotees spoken like that. Because bhakti is difficult to define. And that is why Narada Maharshi is presenting different ways to make us understand that you have to take into account everything, all these things what he has spoken. One in the three modes of nature, how a devotee will behave, depending on these modes of nature, the kind of bhakti. Another one based on the realizations, how he will deal with other people, or he's based on understanding of that. And now he is going to say something else. He says here, based on the three modes of nature, that is called Gauni Tridha, he says. Tridha, in three modes of nature, the Gaunam, bhakti is, can be classified. Bhakti can be defined, bhakti can be classified mainly into two different ways, he says. One is Gauni and Nirgunam, and Abhara or Para. Abhara Bhakti or Para Bhakti. He talks about that as well. Every living entity, inside, he has a relationship with Krishna. We can't deny that. It is there in everyone. And there is a... But because of the powerful modes of nature, it won't manifest. That's all. Bhakti is there in everybody. It's not that bhakti is not there. Bhakti is there in everyone. But because of the powerful modes of nature, it will not manifest in a person. So, because all the sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, these three modes of nature in a person, when that infects bhakti, it's called Gauni. That's what he's saying here. Gauni Tridha. When the three modes of nature infects a person's bhakti, it is called Gauna Bhakti. It's Gauni Tridha. He says three types of bhakti. Then, and this is also mentioned in the Bhagavadam, we talked about that Kapila Maharshi spoke to Devahuti Devi. These three kinds of bhakti, isn't it? Bhakti yogo bhivido bargair bhamini bhavyade swabhava gunamargena pumso pumsam bhavo vibhidyade abhisandhayayo himsam dambham alsiryameva samrambhi bhinnadrik bhavam mai kuryarsa tamasa. So there he said that the abhisandhayayo himsam dambham alsiryameva va. The, in the mode of ignorance, how one's bhakti is, samrambhi bhinnadrikbhavam. Then, vishayana bhisandaya esha aishwaryamevava, archada varchaye divamam pradakbhavasa rajasa. And karmanrahara mudrasya parasvinva tadarpanam yajyesh yashtavyamidiva pradakbhavasa satyugam. So, satyugya rajasa tamasam, the three modes of nature, they will have a very deep impact on our devotion also. On our bhakti also, It will come through us in that way. There is nothing we can do about it till we move out of the three modes of nature. It says, Traigunyal Bhinna Bhedam. Because of these three gunam, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, there is differences in everything. Traigunyal Tribhuvanam. In all the three worlds, this is present. our karma, our actions in this world, is under the modes of nature. The food we eat is under the modes of nature. The place we stay is under the modes of nature. There is everything, modes of nature is present. Karma chakara vedaha says. So, accordingly, they have divided that into heenam, madhyamam, uttamam. Heenam means the third class, madhyamam means the middle level, uttamam means the best. So, because based on these three modes of nature, bhakti is also classified in the same way. And when one executes bhakti to give trouble to others, or competing with someone else, or with anger, or with the understanding that living entities are not important, only the deity is important in the temple, that is tamasa bhakti. That is tamasa bhakti. Similarly, when one executes bhakti with the desire for results, in other words, wants to improve his financial situation in this world, or his sense enjoyment in this world, and with the understanding that one who worships the deity, he is in the Rajasa state, Rajasa bhakti. But on the other hand, when one understands it is his duty to worship Krishna, and it is executed with the understanding that I want to free myself from the bondage of karma, don't want to get continuously change the body because of the karmic influence or karmic reactions. When one wants to free oneself from karma, and he takes Krishna shelter, but he is not a pure devotee yet. He is still under the sattvika gunam, and the sattva gunam. He has not reached the pure state, yes. Pure love for Krishna has not developed. He is still very much in the state of sattva gunam. That means he is not expecting anything from Krishna, but at the same time, he wants to serve Krishna, understanding it is his duty to offer service to Krishna. That is one state. That's what is mentioned here. Satya devotee is Satya Bhakti. So, all these things, Krishna, Narada Maharshi spoke here. And Kapila Vasudeva also mentions the same thing in the Bhagavadam. And then the question came, who is Nirguna Bhakti then? That is what is the more important thing, what Kapila Vasudeva wanted to talk about. Madguna Shuddhi Matrena Mai Sarva Guhashaye Manogadir avichina yatha ganga ambasombhudo lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hudahridam ahai dukhi avyavahida ya bhakti purushottame. This is the definition of nirguna bhakti. Nirguna bhakti is like this. Madguna shuddhi matrena mai sarva guhashaye. As soon as one hears about Krishna, immediate realization mai sarva guhashaye is present in everyone's heart. This realization. He is not thinking about the deity straight away. Rather, he thinks about Krishna's presence in every living entity. So important that is. Madguna shuddhi matrena mai sarva guhashaye. And manogadir avichinna yatha gangamba sombhudo. Knowing very well the presence of Krishna in every living entity, his shraddha or attention moves towards that exactly like Ganga river flows to the ocean. Ganga goes to river without any obstacle, isn't it? Continuously flowing to, she is in a rush to get to the ocean. In the same way, when a devotee reaches that state where he does not want any material desires, but simply as soon as he hears about Krishna, he wants to be with Krishna. In other words, his attention, shraddha, is completely absorbed in Krishna. When that state happens, lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya udahridam. He says that is the lakshanam or the symptom of bhakti of a person who has got nirguna bhakti. Nirguna bhakti is that state. Nirgunasya udahridam. Ahaituki avyavahida ya bhakti purushottamam. Ahaituki it is. It has no reason behind it. It's not based on any particular reason that kind of bhakti is in a person. Obviously, it happens through several lifetimes of Krishna consciousness, that a person reaches that state, that he cannot anymore stay away from Krishna, continuously absorbs in Krishna. So, Nirguna Bhakti is a higher state. Sadhana Bhakti happens in the three modes of nature. Nirguna bhakti is pure Krishna consciousness, free from all the modes of nature. Akaituki avyavahida ya bhakti purushottame. Avyavahida it is. It is not only ahaituki that, and his mind is constantly flowing in that direction. It is unable to check or resist that anymore. It's constantly flowing towards Krishna. This is the beauty of the Nirguna Bhakti. What Kapila Vasudeva spoken about that in the Bhagavadam, in the third canto. Same thing what you will see here is, in the same Bhagavadam, this is in the third canto. This classification based on Gunam, three modes of nature. In canto 11, you see that Prakrita Madhyamam Adhamam, three kinds of bhakti mentions there by Hari Maharshi, isn't it? That is what we talked about. Sarvabodhesha based on the realizations. Based on the realizations. Ishvare tadaniyeshu balisheshu dishal sucha. Premam maitri kripa ubeksha ekarodisa madhyama. Archaya mevahare pujamya shadaye hade. Nadat bhakteshu janyeshu sabhakta pragradasmada. So here, based on that understanding of that devotee, he will perform his Krishna consciousness in these three different ways. First class devotee, Bhagavadottama, he says, he is the one who sees Krishna's presence in every living entity. Sarva bhudeshu yapashet. Bhagavad bhavam. It's only seeing Krishna in every living entity. No more seeing the body anymore. Body is not, bodily identity is not taken into account anymore. Sarva bhudeshu yapashet. Bhagavad bhavam. And Bhudani Bhagavati Esha, he knows that Krishna is residing in everyone's heart and everyone is residing in Krishna. Bhudani Bhagavati Esha Savai Bhagavadottama is first class devotee. Then the middle class devotee, Madhyamam, he says, Ishvareshu tadadineshu balisheshu dishal suja prema maitri kriva upayaksha yakarodisa madhyama. He develops love for Krishna, friendship with the devotees, and kriva, mercy for those who are innocent, and upeksha, indifference to those who are ignorant, those who are envious, in other words, upeksha, just leave them alone, indifferent they are. So those three classifications in the Bhagavad, two different kinds of classifications in the Bhagavadam. Now, you will notice in Bhagavad Gita, if you look, how Krishna puts it. There Krishna says, four kinds of people come to me, Krishna says, isn't it? Artho jityasu arthati jnani chaturvida bhajan devam, they worship me. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's definition of bhakti or those four kinds of devotees, he mentions there artha jityasu arthati jnani, four kinds of devotees, he says. It mentions here. So who is artha? Artha means due to various distress in life, due to illness or whatever that has happened in life, one has become a devotee. One has come to Krishna for shelter. He is that. And Jityasu is one who wants to know the truth. He has inquisitiveness in him. He wants to know what is this relationship with Krishna. Who is Krishna? What's my connection with Krishna? Those things. Arthati is the one who is looking for wealth. He wants money. And Jnani is that person who is looking for self-realization, who is already in the realized state. In other words, if you look into that, four kinds of devotees mentioned. Jnani and the Nirguna Bhaktan is the same. In other words, one who has gone beyond the three modes of nature, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, there is a fourth state, which is Nirguna Bhakti, which are without any motivations. Jnani state is like that. Out of this, Jnani is in that state. Because he has realized it, so his bhakti is Nirguna Bhakti. Jnani's bhakti is Nirguna Bhakti. It is not under the other three. It doesn't come under the under three. So, although Krishna has classified them into four, all of them are fortunate. Krishna says they are all devotees. So, but while classifying them, Krishna uses a different system to explain that. He says in the next sutram, if you look, you will see uttarasmal uttarasmal purva 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 shreyaya bhavati. One is above the other, he says. One is above the other. That is important. This is a little different, the way he look at things. Krishna is saying, looking at it in a different way. He says here, the devotees are divided into Satvika, Rajasa, Tamasam. Artho, Jijnyasu, Artharthi. We know what they are. They are also under the modes of nature. Isn't it? Out of the four, Artham, Jijnyasu, Artharthi, Jnani. Jnani is not under the modes of nature. Jnani, Nirguna, Bhakti, they are one and the same. His Bhakti is Nirguna. But Arthan, Jijnyasu, Artharthi, they are under the modes of nature. They are under the modes of nature. So, here, he mentions here that Artha, Jijnyasu, Artharthi, that is the order in the Bhagavad Gita. So, Tamasam, Rajasam, Sattvikam. In other words, if you look at that, if you look at these three, Sattvika, Rajasa, Tamasam, in there, it will appear as though Rajasam is superior to Sattvikam and Tamasam is superior to Rajasam. Tamasam is superior to Rajasam. For example, that's why he says here, Uttarasmal, Uttarasmal, Purva Purvam, Shreyaya Bhavati. In other words, Artharthi, Artharthi, Artha, Jijnyasu, Artharthi. Better than Artharthi is Jijnyasu. Better than Jijnyasu is Artha, he says. And that is quite interesting, isn't it? You may normally think Jijnyasu is better than Artharthi and Artha. According to Narada Maharshi, what Narada Maharshi is saying here is, you have this Artha, you know what I mean. Artha means one who is in distress. Jijnyasu is one who is inquisitive. Artharthi is one who is looking for wealth, looking for money. So, Artha, Jijnyasu, Artharthi. Here, if you, on that basis, if you look at this, according to this sutram, what he says here, better than Artharthi is Jijnyasu, and better than Jijnyasu is Artha. It will come out like that. Because that's how Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita is. So, the answer to that is, actually, when Krishna is saying that, from which position you are looking at bhakti? If you look at from Krishna's position, it is one order. And if you look at from devotee's position, it is another order. I don't know whether you get that point. That when you are looking for devotee's point, here, there is another important thing. Bhagavad Gita is so subtle when they say so many things. Bhagavad Gita says in one position, in one verse in the 12th chapter, if you look in the Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter, there is a verse there. If you read that verse, definitely you will get confused. How can it be? You'll ask that question. What is that verse? Shreyohi jnanam abhyasa, jnanal dhyanam visheshade, dhyanal karma balatyagam tyaga chandir anandaram. There is a verse, you can look at the Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter, 12th verse. It's amazing that verse when you look at that. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam visheshade. Krishna says there, jnanam is better than abhyasam. Abhyasam means practicing. Better than practice is knowledge, he says. Better than practice is knowledge. Better than knowledge is meditation. Jnanal dhyanam visheshade. Dhyanal karma phalatyagam. That means you giving up the results of your work to Krishna. Karma phalatyagam is better than dhyanam, he says. Dhyanal tyaga chandir anandaram. And tyagam, karma phala tyagam, is better than dhyanam. He says like that in there. Now, if you look that, it will appear as though karma phala tyagam is the best. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is to work hard, earn money and give it to Krishna. And that's the best. It will appear like that, isn't it? According to the verse, it is like that. Then why did Krishna say like that? This question will come. This is the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, when you don't see various other things, why Krishna spoke like that? The explanation to that is, that verse, out of that, the one when comes to spiritual life first, karma phalatyagam is the one he is qualified for. So therefore that is given the highest importance than the other three. From the sadhaka state, from the one who is come to spiritual life first time, for him karma phalatyagam is the beginning first. And as he progresses, you will see he will come to karma phalatyagam to dhyanam, dhyanam to jnanam, and jnanam to abhyasam. Abhyasa means perfection of self-realization. That is how. It's the opposite way it flows. First, abhyasam. Shreyohi jnanam. Best, he says, better than jnanam is shreyohi jnanam abhyasam. Jnanam is better than abhyasam, he says. Jnanal dhyanam vishishade. Dhyanam is better than jnanam. Dhyanam means meditation. Is better than jnanam. And jnanal dhyanam vishishade. Dhyanal karma phalatyagam. Giving up the results to Krishna is better than meditation. And we know that it is not like that. It's the other way it is. It is the other way. But why it's spoken like that? Because when a person comes to spiritual life first, karma bhalatyagam is the beginning. Giving up everything to Krishna, results of his work. And then he progresses, his dhyanam gets stronger. He becomes stronger in his dhyanam, meditation, which will eventually lead to jnanam, knowledge, self-realization, into the knowledge of the soul, and eventually he becomes realized and come to abhyasam, the state of self-realization. It's the other way it is. So, from which position you are looking at, in that way, this order you have to accept it. You have to understand that. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. It won't make any sense. It can definitely not the other way. Because karma phalatyagam is the beginning of the spiritual life. And when karma phalatyagam comes, from that dhyanam comes. From dhyanam, jnanam comes. From jnanam, abhyasam comes. So it's a way. Similarly, here also, this is the connection to Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, artho jityasu atharti jnani. Jnani we eliminate because he belongs to nirguna bhakti. Out of the other three, artha, jityasu and artharti, it will appear as though jityasu is better than artha and artharti is better than jityasu. But because artharti is the first time everyone comes to spiritual life in some way, or it may be due to mixture of artharti and artha, various things. Jnanasu is very, very rare thing. But even all those three things he mentions here, that artharti, artha, jnanasu and artharti are the three which are covered in this. And here also, satya bhakti does not fall into any of these three. So, depending on the state where the sadhana is performed, or one who is performing sadhana is sadhaka. The sadhaka state, on that basis, this order is established in the Bhagavad Gita. Why Krishna says that, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see this. Krishna mentions this in a different way. He says, Svesve adhigare ya nishta saguna parigirtidaha. Vibhareyastu doshasya ubhayoresha nischaya. This is another statement from Krishna. Krishna is saying, what one is qualified for, that is important. Svesve adhigaram. What is one's qualification? One has to know. What am I? Where am I at the moment? One should know oneself. We should not simply think that, oh, I am only in the jnani state. I am never, other three states I have left long ago. No, it doesn't happen like that. We can say that, but it may not happen. In reality, it is not like that. So, in order for oneself to think, understand, Krishna is saying to us, Sve Sve Adhigare, Adhigare Parinishta. It is better to stay in what position one is and execute a spiritual life, rather than imagining something what he is not and thinking that he will do that. He is doing that. Sometimes people think like that. I am in that state, higher state, pure devotee I am. So, and he'll be fooling himself. That's what Krishna is saying. Sve sve adhigare ya nishta saguna parigirtida. If he is in that state, what he is qualified for, he should be fixed in that. That will be good for him. If he does that, it'll be. Because these things don't happen overnight. It takes long time to move out from one state to another state. Sve sve adhigare ya nishta saguna parigirtida. Vibhareyastu doshasya ubhayoresha nischaya. If you start doing against that, ubhayam. I mean, opposite to this principle, that according to your qualifications, you should stay in that particular position and execute spiritual life. If you don't do that, what will happen? He says here, ubhayestu doshasyal ubhayoresha nischaya. He will fall down. He will fall down. That's what happens. We have seen that again and again, isn't it? So many times people say that they presented themselves as pure devotees, and then the next morning they were gone. They couldn't stay as pure devotee. How can that happen? Because then it contradicts whole Bhakti Sutram. It doesn't work. So that's what he's saying here, that vivarayastu doshasya ubhayoresha nischayam. If you go against that, it is dosham. It is problem for the person. So it is in this reason that tamasa rajasa sattvikam artha jijnyasu arthaarthi, that those three. So tamasa bhakti artham, rajasa bhakti is jijnyasu, and sattvika bhakti arthaarthi. This definition is based on Bhagavadam, like they used in the Kapila Maharshi's explanation in the Bhagavadam, as well as the Navayogi's explanation in the Uttamam, Madhyamam, Prakritam, three kinds of bhakti. So, from which angle you are seeing a devotee, based on that, this applies. Based on this apply. If you are looking from sadhana state, from the sadhana, one who is executing bhakti, it's in the opposite way. One is looking from Krishna's position, if you look at it, it is what they call it as Satya Bhakti, Rajasa Bhakti, Tamasa Bhakti. Or Bhagavadottamam, or middle class, or the Prakrita Bhakti. These classifications are based on that. So, Gunabhedam, he says here. So here, one question is coming. It is on that reason that Artha is better than the Jijnyasu. That is another interesting thing, isn't it? Artha is better than Jijnyasu. So, there is another reason behind it, why it is said like that. A Jijnyasu, if you look, he is only Jijnyasu. You know what means Jijnyasu means? He just want to find out, curious or inquisitive to know. His bhakti won't be as powerful as Artha's bhakti. So that is why Artha is put higher than the Jijnyasu. You see that? Jijnyasu, we may think, oh, he has no desires, he is out of curiosity or out of inquisitiveness. He is inquiring about Krishna. His bhakti won't be as powerful as Artha. Remember that? The distress in it, like Kundidevi's bhakti is Artha, that distress inside. Therefore, Kundidevi's bhakti is much more powerful, because it has real feeling behind it, intense feelings inside. Therefore, her bhakti is superior because of that. That's why they are put higher than the Jijnyasu, because of the feeling, the intensity of the bhakti. So when we classify bhakti, you cannot straight away say someone is higher, someone is lower, because of all these different aspects of bhakti is taken into account. From sadhaka state one way, from the Krishna's position another way, based on the intensity of experiences of a devotee in another way. For example, a devotee who is artha, terribly in distress, he will have a very high degree of realization. He may not be performing any sadhana, but still his realizations will be very good. Why? Because of the distress in life. Soyam Krishna avadaro jaiditava vibho yatra sneha anuragai. Then Krishnavadaram, people have lot of distress in Krishnavadaram times, isn't it? Yatra sauharda bidisneha dvesha anuragehi prabhrudviradulai ashramai yogabedehi. Says that sauhardam bhidi, like different emotions devotees have, isn't it? Fear, Kamsa had fear for Krishna. Shishubala hated Krishna. And gopis had a lusty relationship with Krishna in the beginning, which developed into pure love later. And Shishubala had hate. So similarly, a person who is in distress also is an emotional relationship with Krishna. So that is why it says, Yatra Sauharda Bhidi Sneham Dvesham Aniragam. All these different emotions, Prabhrati Viradulai Ashramai Yoga Vedehi, they are all capable of taking us closer to Krishna than Jityasu's inquiry. Jityasu is inquiring. He is only practically, he is inquiring about things, but he has not decided yet whether he wants to be a devotee or not. So therefore, on the externally, when you look at the words Artha and Jityasu, you may think, oh, Jityasu is superior to Artha. But in reality, Artha is superior to Jityasu. Yeah. Normally, when we read Bhagavad Gita, Artha, Jityasu, Arthaarthi, Jnani, four kinds. Krishna has already certified Jnani is superior because he is in another state, class, belongs. He doesn't belong to either of the other three. He is definitely superior. Because his bhakti is nirguna bhakti. Because he has come to realize the truth. So naturally his relationship with is pure in the bhakti state. Pure. Highest realization. Whereas the other three, artha, jityasu, artharthi, out of those three, if we want to grade them, normally our tendency will be to say jityasu is better than the other two. Other two are in distress, therefore they have come to Krishna. But from the bhakti point of view, Artha is superior than Jityasu. But Jityasu is definitely better than Artharthi. Artharthi is the worst. Artharthi is the worst. So at least Jityasu is not asking for money. So Jityasu is put better than Artharthi. But Jityasu is not better than Artha. Artha is better than Jityasu. Why? Artha has feeling for Krishna inside. That at least he will surrender first more than Jityasu or Artharthi. Jityasu or Artharthi. Artha will surrender first. Therefore, he is better. This is the principle behind it. Normally, we will say Jityasu is better. He is free from, he is pure devotee. He is only inquiring. A lot of devotees say like that, I came to Krishna consciousness. I was just inquiring about the truth. All that. They inquired for some time and they didn't see them after that. They're gone. So that's a problem with this inquiry business. Inquiry won't last very long. Inquiry will go after a while. Inquiry finishes. So the important thing here is that based on the intensity of bhakti, this classification has come. Artho jityasu arthati jnani. But Jnani is not categorized into these three. Reason being, Jnani is of a different group. They goes with the pure devotees. Bhagavadottama state, that is. In the Jnana Margam, when you say is Jnani, in the Bhakti Margam, it is Bhagavadottama. That's all the differences. He is the best of the devotees. Bhagavadottama, we say, isn't it? Bhagavadottama. So, Bhagavadottama, it says. So, Bhagavadottama and Jnani is in the same state. Whereas the other three are the ones which are different. So, in that say, they says here, and so, if you look at that way, when Krishna, when Narada Maharshi talks about bhakti, you have to look at all these angles, like Narada Maharshi spoke about. The Satvika Rajasa Tamasam classification based on Kapila Maharshi's Sankhyam. Kapila Maharshi is a Kapilam in the Bhagavadam. Then, based on the realizations, what was spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam, when King Nimi asked the question, Prabuddha spoke, Hari Maharshi and Prabuddha spoke about that. That's another way of classification of bhakti. Krishna has classified in the Bhagavad Gita, Artho Jityasu Artharthi Jnani, another kind of classification. So, in all these classifications, Sri Narada Maharshi says that bhakti is one who depends on Krishna, he is closer to Krishna. One who is dependent on Krishna is closer to Krishna. So, according to Gunabhedam, Gunabhedam means according to the modes of nature, according to his difference in the intensity of distress in him, that you have to look at that particular devotee state. And therefore, he says, Anyasmad Saulabhyam Bhakto. In the next sutram, he says, Anyasmad Saulabhyam Bhakta. Compared to Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, and other processes, Sri Narada Maharishi says Bhakti Margam is easier to execute. Earlier, if you look at the 25th sutram, earlier you will see, he also mentioned another thing. What is that? He said that sadhu karma jnana yogebhyopi adhyadara. Compared to karmam, jnanam and yogam, bhakti is adhyadara. That yogebhyopi adhyadara. Compared to karmam, jnanam and yogam, bhakti is superior, he mentions there. And the same thing he is repeating again, anyasmat saulabhyam bhakta. Bhakti is much easier because bhakti is a person's love, loving nature, isn't it? Comes from the heart. So the attachment for other living entities, other objects in this world, everyone has attachment. Ragam is there. When that is given to Krishna, that is bhakti. Gopis defines that. Itara raga vismaranam nranam adhara vira aste adharamradam. Gopis are saying to Krishna, itara raga vismaranam nranam, completely lost all the attachment for everything else in this world, and that attachment turned towards Krishna. That is bhakti. So while talking about this, in the first canto you will see Sri Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyasa Maharshi about this, that it is not possible to purify oneself without bhakti. Without bhakti. Yada yamadhibir yogapade kama lobahato muhu mukunda sevaya yadvat adat halpmana shamyadi. In the first canto, while Sri Narada Maharshi was instructing Vedavyas, he says to him, yamadhibir yogapade. Unlike yoga system. Yoga system means referring to Ashtanga Yoga. Now, you know that this yoga, Ashtanga Yoga is popular. People get attracted to it more than Jnana Margam, Bhakti Margam, Karma Margam, isn't it? You know, all over the world. As soon as you say that you are teaching yoga, there will be customers. But if you tell them that you are teaching Bhakti Yoga or Jnana Yoga, anything, they'll be a little bit hesitant to take it because it's very abstract. Whereas, why people get attracted to Yoga so much, Ashtanga Yoga? There is a reason behind it. Reason is, because it is based on the body, it's much more tangible for them to relate with it. Because of the bodily identity, that you show them everything through the body, isn't it? Ashtanga Yoga. If you look at it, you will see yogasanam, what is advertised all over, is all based on the body. And because we are in the bodily concept of life, majority of the people, they find it easier to relate with yoga, that yoga, Ashtanga yoga, than Jnana Margam or Karma Margam or Bhakti Margam. So here, he says here, that, and the goal of that yoga process is also same, to purify oneself. They perform austerities, penances, different kinds of Ashtanga Yoga they practice, isn't it? Yamam, Nemam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi, different yoga processes they follow for this reason. So, in order to purify themselves, they take to Ashtanga Yoga process. But Ashtanga Yoga problem is that because it is based on one's own effort, and because it is very much through the body that realization has to happen, it takes a long period of time, and plus, there is a possibility of always falling down from that. That's why it says here that Sri Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, Mukunda Sevaya Yadva Tadatmadha Na Shamyadi. This mind, controlling the mind is the goal, isn't it? You know, Dhyanam, for example, is a part of Ashtanga Yoga meditation, isn't it? Why do they perform Dhyanam? To bring the mind under control. What Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas is, just like through the bhakti process, how one can control the mind, it is not possible to control the mind so easily through the yoga process, through meditation process, in other words. Yogam has got that difficulty. Yoga process has got that problem. Bhakti process is easier. He says, Mukunda Sevaya Yadvad तथा धाल्मा न शाम्यति. वन्स हूज माइंड इज डिस्टर्ब्ड ड्यू टू लस्ट एंगर ग्रीड एंड वेरियस थिंग्स लाइक दैट इट इज नॉट प्यूरिफाई पॉसिबल टू प्यूरिफाई दैट हार्ट ईजिली. It is much easier, he says, through the process of Bhakti Yoga rather than the process of Ashtanga Yoga. That is what he is saying here. Yada Bhagunda Sevaya Yadva Tadalmadha Na Shamyati. And therefore he says, Bhakti is more natural for anyone to execute. Easier to execute and at the same time natural thing for one to execute. And that is what he says in the next sutram if you look. Pramana Andarasya Anabekshatvad Swayam Pramanatvad. He says, that you don't need any pramana. Pramana means authority for that. It's one's own understanding, realization one can. Nobody has to tell you that. Out of all these four processes, jnanam, karmam, yogam and all that, and bhakti. Bhakti process does not require any pramana. It is so easier to follow and it will bring its results on its own way without anyone particularly who is following the process of bhakti properly, as Sri Narada Maharshi has spoken here, if one follows that, he says, the results also he can experience directly, unlike in the other processes. So, normally, pramana means authority. Normally, there is pratyaksham, anumanam, agamam. Three kinds of authorities we use in the Vedic system. So, pratyaksham means direct perception. Anumana means inference. Agama means Shastram. The Shastram, authority. Authority of Shastram through inference or direct perception. These are the three normal processes. So, Agamam, Shastram is referring mostly to beyond the knowledge of the Shastram is such that it can only guide you in topics beyond our senses. When do you need Shastram? When through senses you can't make a decision. Through your senses and the mind. You don't know about something. that means pratyaksham, direct perception, you can't say what is the best process. Bhakti or jnanam or karma. You don't know about that. And anumanam, through inference also you don't know how to come to a conclusion about it. So pratyakshanam animityeva. You have no way of determining what is the right thing to do. When you are in that state, estupayo na vidyade, Vedam are saying to us, edam vadandi vedena tasmal vedasya vedada. Vedam is the only choice we have. Authority. Accept the authority. So, when we go beyond the boundary of the senses, mind, and if you want to have some higher knowledge beyond that, then you have to take the shelter of Vedam. The authority of the Vedas. That's what he is saying here. But ultimately, after coming through Anumanam or through Agamam, if it is not experienced by you directly, once you have experienced directly something, that is Pratyaksham. Direct experience, Pratyaksham. So Pratyaksham is one's own experience, isn't it? One's own realizations. And then you don't need any authority after that. You are having it yourself. You are experiencing yourself. No one else has to tell you anymore about it. So, just like they give the example that suppose somebody is feeling hungry, you don't have to prove it to somebody based on Shastram, I am feeling hungry. I am hungry, I want food, that's all. That's it. Because you are experiencing hunger. In the same way, bhakti is like that. Once you experience that bhakti, then you know that I am experiencing that state of Krishna consciousness, bhakti. You will not be demanding for any proof after that. So that is the very nature of the bhakti process. So whatever anyone raises any logic or questions about that, that none of them will disturb the mind or the experience of a devotee. A devotee who is experiencing bhakti, nothing can disturb him anymore because he is experiencing it himself. And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see the first beginning of Bhagavatam itself, the second verse. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunigrade Kimvabare Ishvara Sadyo Hridya Varudyade Trakradevi ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൽ. വേദവ്യാസ മഹർഷി കമ്പൈൽഡ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം. കിം വാപരൈ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധിതേത്ര കൃതിഭി. ദാറ്റ് ആസ് സൂൺ ആസ് യു ഹിയർ ഭാഗവതം, ഇഫ് ദർ ഈസ് ഭക്തി ഇൻസൈഡ്, സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യ അവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി, കൃഷ്ണ ഇമ്മീഡിയറ്റ്ലി വാക്സ് ഇൻ ടു ദാറ്റ് ഹാർട്ട് ഓഫ് എ പേഴ്സൺ ആൻഡ് ഹി വിൽ നോ ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ഹിയറിംഗ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം. ആൻഡ് ശുശ്രൂഷു ബി തൽക്ഷണാൻ, ഇസ് ഈസ് ഇമ്മീഡിയറ്റ്ലി ഓൺ ദ സ്പോട്ട്. It happens straight away. It has to happen. Then, therefore, in such a state, you don't require a shastram after that to explain that, because it's a direct experience of a devotee. Direct experience of a devotee. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krute Dharma Projita Gaidavotra Paramo. When we Vedavyas talks about Bhagavatam, he says like that. ഇൻ ദ സെക്കൻഡ് വേഴ്സ്, ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിത ഗൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം. ദോസ് ഹു ആർ ഫിക്സ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദി പാത്ത് ഓഫ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ്, ഹു ആർ ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം ചീറ്റിംഗ് പ്രൊപ്പൻസിറ്റീസ്, ഹു ആർ നോട്ട് ഇൻ ദ റിലീജിയസ് ലൈഫ് ഫോർ ചീറ്റിംഗ് അതേഴ്സ്, ഗൈതവോത്ര പരമം നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം, ദേ ആർ നോട്ട് ദെയർ ടു കമ്പീറ്റ് വിത്ത് എനി വൺ, ദേ വാണ്ട് ടു അഡ്വാൻസ് ആൻഡ് റിയലൈസ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത്. സച്ച് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റീസ് ഹു ആർ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് പ്യുവർ സ്റ്റേറ്റ് വേദ്യം, ദേ നോ വാസ്തവം, ദ ട്രൂത്ത് സെൽഫ്. അത്ര വസ്തുശിവതം, ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ട്രൂത്ത് ഈസ് ഹൈലി ഓസ്പീഷ്യസ് ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ് റിമൂവ്സ്, വൺസ് ദാറ്റ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഹാപ്പൻസ്, താപത്രയ ഉന്മൂലനം. ദി ഹാസ് നോ മോർ ദ ത്രീ കൈൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് ആധ്യാത്മികം, ആദിഭൗതികം, ആദിദൈവികം. ദ ത്രീ കൈൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് ഡിസ്ട്രസ് ഡസ് നോട്ട് എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ഫോർ ഹിം എനി മോർ. വാട്ട് എൽസ്? ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ. വേദവ്യാസ മഹർഷി വെൻ ഈ കമ്പൈൽഡ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം, what was in the objective was kimva varei ishvara sadyo hrudya varudyate etra krutibhi. Then this inquiry has reached the final state that sadyo hrudya varudyate etra krutibhi. Krishna is saying that as soon as he is ready, Krishna is provided he is inside, he is pure, Krishna is ready to walk inside. സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യ അവരുദ്ധ്യത എത്ര കൃതിപി. ദിസ് ഈസ് ഓൾ ഇൻ റെഫറൻസ് ടു ശ്രവണം, ഹിയറിംഗ് പ്രോസസ്. ബിക്കോസ് ഭാഗവതം ഈസ് എ ശ്രവണ ഗ്രന്ഥം, ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് മെൻ ഫോർ ഹിയറിംഗ്. ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം വി കീപ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ഭാഗവതം, ഹിയർ ഭാഗവതം. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദിസ് മെയിൻ ഹിയറിംഗ് ഭാഗവതം? മീൻസ് ദിസ്, ദാറ്റ് വെൻ എ പേഴ്സൺ ഈസ് റെഡി ടു റിസീവ് ദ മെസ്സേജ് പ്രോപ്പർലി, ഹി ഈസ് ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം എൻവി, ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം കോമ്പറ്റീഷൻ, ആൻഡ് ഹി ഡസ് നോട്ട് ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദി ചീറ്റിംഗ് റിലിജിയൻ, ആസ് ഭാഗവതം കോൾസ് ഇറ്റ് കൈതവധർമ്മം. കൈതവധർമ്മം മീൻസ് ചീറ്റിംഗ് റിലിജ്യൻ. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ചീറ്റിംഗ് റിലിജ്യൻ? ചീറ്റിംഗ് റിലിജ്യൻ മീൻസ് ഐ വിൽ ഗിവ് യു 50 പെൻസ്, യു ഗിവ് മീ 50 ലാക്സ് ഡൂയിങ് ബിസിനസ് വിത്ത് കൃഷ്ണ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ചീറ്റിംഗ് റിലിജ്യൻ, ഡൂയിങ് ബിസിനസ് വിത്ത് കൃഷ്ണ. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് മെജോറിറ്റി, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? മെജോറിറ്റി ഈസ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. സോ ദെയർഫോർ ദാറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് ചീറ്റിംഗ് റിലിജ്യൻ. ബട്ട് വൺ ഹു കംസ് ടു സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് ഫോർ റിയലൈസിംഗ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഹു ഹാസ് ഡിവലപ്ഡ് ദാറ്റ് പ്യൂരിറ്റി ഇൻസൈഡ് ഇൻ ഹിം, വേദവ്യാസ് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ, ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര അത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം. ആൻഡ് ഹി ഹാസ് ഓൺലി വൺ ഗോൾ ആൻഡ് വൺ റിയലൈസേഷൻ, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹി വാണ്ട്സ് ടു നോ ദ ട്രൂത്ത് ആൻഡ് ഹി ഈസ് മൂവിംഗ് ടുവേർഡ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ട്രൂത്ത്. ലോസ്റ്റ് ഓൾ ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, ലോസ്റ്റ് ഓൾ ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ അതർ തിങ്സ്. വേദ്യം, ഹി നോസ് വാസ്തവം, വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത്. അസ്ത്ര വസ്തുശിവതം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ആൻഡ് വൺസ് ഹി നോസ് ദാറ്റ്, വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ ഈസ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ. മഹാമുനി വേദവ്യാസ് ഹാസ് ക്രിയേറ്റഡ് ദ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം. കിം വാപരൈ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര. സ്ട്രൈറ്റ് അവേ കൃഷ്ണ വാക്സ് ഇൻ ടു ദാറ്റ് ഹാർട്ട്. അവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. ഇമ്മീഡിയറ്റ്ലി ഹി മൂവ്സ് ഇൻ ആൻഡ് സിറ്റ്സ് ദയർ ആൻഡ് സ്റ്റാർട്ട്സ് ലിസണിംഗ് ഭാഗവതം. കൃഷ്ണ, ദാറ്റ്സ് വൈ വി മെൻഷൻ ബിഫോർ, കൃഷ്ണ സ്പീക്സ്, കൃഷ്ണ ലിസൺസ്. This is only applicable when you come to that stage. That's where it happens. By hearing, the importance of hearing, when that is spoken in the Bhagavatam, this is what it means. Kasmayena vibhasidoya madalo jnana pradipapura tadrubena cha naradayamaneye krishnaye tadrubina. Krishna sat in the, Krishna spoke Bhagavatam. Sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna heard Bhagavatam. Krishna sat in Brahma's heart and spoke Bhagavatam. Sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart, heard Bhagavatam. Sat in Narada Maharshi's heart, spoke Bhagavatam. Sat in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart, heard Bhagavatam. All these personalities, Sadyo Hridya Viruddhya Yatra Kridhavi Shushroshubi Talshanat, that on the spot, Krishna walks in and starts listening inside their heart.
So this Shravanam or hearing process, when we are discussing the importance of this hearing process, these things must be kept in mind. When does that happen? That proper Shravanam, proper hearing, when that happens. So here, Pramana Andarasya Anabekshatvad and Swayam Pramanatvad. So Swayam Pramanatvad, when one is experiencing like that, then he doesn't require any more, any Pramanam, any authority. Any kind of authority is not required. So that is why he says here, Shanti Rupat Paramananda Rupacha, that when one has that bhakti in Krishna, bhakti towards Krishna, in that way, who is one's own soul present inside, that bhakti inside is self-manifesting or naturally in him. How does that manifest? In the form of Shanti, the peace inside. In the form of Shanti Rupat Paramananda Rupacha. Bhakti's rupam is the shanti in a person. Shanti means the peace inside a person. That means shanti rupat paramananda rupacha. Therefore, Sri Narada Maharshi says, one should execute sadhana with this understanding. With this understanding. Krishna also says that in the Bhagavatam in a different way. He says, shamo man nishtada buddhe. Shama means the peace of mind, shanti inside. From that happens, man nishtada buddhe, when one's intelligence is fixed in me, Krishna says. So the state of consciousness of a person, when one is fixed in Krishna, that is called shanti. That is called shanti. So shanti and anandam, these are all anubhuti. Anubhuti means he is experiencing within himself. It is not perception. It is experience within. So, although the goal is shanti and the goal is anandam, and that's what everyone is trying in this world. Everybody is trying in this world for that. But because it is coming from material activities, laugiya karmam, that will remain temporary. You won't get shanti or you won't get anandam from that. Even if you do feel some shanti or anandam, it will remain very temporary. That is Bhagavatam puts that, ityachudangrim bhajadu anuvrtya bhaktar viraktar bhagavat prabhoda bhavandivai bhagavadasya rajam tadaparam shanti mubaydi sakshal. Kavi Maharshi said this too. When the shanti comes, he says, ityachudangrim bhajadu anuvrtya. When one comes to bhakti state, proper bhakti develops towards Krishna and starts serving Krishna, Krishna consciousness develops in its verse. What will happen? Bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodam. That is the sequence, how it happens. First, proper bhakti develops. Due to that bhakti, virakti comes to him. Virakti means detachment from this world. He considers Krishna as the only goal in life, nothing else. Only goal is Krishna. There's no other priority to anything else except Krishna. So, bhakti, virakti and bhagavat prabhoda. He says here, bhakti viraktir bhagavat prabhodam is jnanam, knowledge. So sometimes we misunderstand bhakti and jnanam. Bhakti is like that. Bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodam. It's in the Bhagavatam it's saying this. That when proper bhakti comes, first thing is virakti comes. Although we say jnanam and vairagyam is children of bhakti, if proper bhakti comes, bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodam. Virakti, jnanam or vairagyam and jnanam will follow. The mother and the two children are all together, always. So mother is there, the two children also will follow along with that. That's all it is. And bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodam. So this is Kavi Maharshi saying to King Nimi. That ityachudangrim, ityachudangrim bhajadonya vrittya, bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodam. Bhavandi vai bhagavadasya rajam tada param shanti upayasi sakshal. After that, shanti will come. Once that jnanam has come, then the shanti will come. So at no point you can separate jnanam and bhakti. Jnanam comes with the bhakti. Natural. For a devotee, initially he may not have all the jnanam what is necessary, but at some point Krishna will make him understand everything. As we saw in the Ekadasha Skandam, the difference between a jnani and a bhakta is this, that bhakta first surrenders everything and then he comes to know what the truth is. Jnani first comes to know the truth and then he surrenders. So practically there is no difference in that way. That is why in Bhagavad Gita you will see in some places Krishna glorifies Jnani to a very high level. Another place Krishna glorifies Bhakta also on a very higher level. And sometimes people start thinking which one is better. That's our mind, creates that nature. It always wants to have the best, isn't it? We will only accept the best. But spiritual life is not so black and white. Spiritual life is like this. Then it's always this understanding have to come. As I was saying before, in the last Sunday, when you read Bhagavatam also, suddenly in 13th chapter, Krishna talks about Jnanam as a superior, highest thing. Immediately after that, he throws the whole Jnanam away and comes to Bhakti and talks about Bhakti on a much higher level, isn't it? And that is what Krishna talks about there. So from there you may think that, 13th chapter is not important. That's for the Jnanis. I am Bhaktiya, so I am going to the 14th chapter. No, that's not like that. What happens is, every time when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, when you come to those chapters which are relationship with Jnanam, you have to become a Jnani's mood. You have to take that mood of a Jnani. When you are discussing Bhakti, you have to take the mood of a Bhakta. And when Krishna is talking about Karmam, you have to take the mood of Karmam also there. That is, otherwise you will find 90% of Bhagavatam, you will not be able to relate with it. You will find it's not necessary to read. If you only talk about Bhakti, Jnanam, Karmam, everything is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So same thing here. That Bhavandi Vai Bhagavadasya Rajam Tadaparam Shanti Mupayiti Sakshal. He says here that such a devotee, he will eventually get back to Krishna. In other words, he will realize the truth for a Jnani's point of view. So, Narada Maharshi said this earlier to Vedavyas, isn't it? Premadibara Narbhinna Pulagangodi Narvridaha Ananda Samblavo Eline Navashamubhayam Munim. So, once that purity or pure bhakti has come to someone's heart, he says here, I never knew then about, I couldn't remember anything what happened. Narada Maharshi's words are like that. Ananda Samplavo Line Navasham Ubhayam Mune. He says, I was so absorbed in that bliss of bhakti. Ananda Samplavo Line. I could not see any more duality in this world. Duality means we see everything different, isn't it? Dvandvam, duality. That dvandvam leaves you. That means automatically the knowledge has come to Sri Narada Maharshi at that state. That's what he's saying here. That sadhana, purity or the importance of bhakti, while referring to, he says, even during the sadhana stage, even in the sadhana stage, or even after self-realization, bhakti is always blissful. It's always blissful, unlike the other processes. That is why he says in the next sutram, Logahano Chindana Karyam Nivedi Dalma Loga Veda Shilatwad. He says, Logahano Chindana Karyam. One who has surrendered everything to Krishna, which is a devotee, he does not have that as any concern about his survival in this world. Logahano chinda na karyam. He has nothing to worry about his survival in this world. Nivedi dalma logaveda shilatwal. And he does not have to be lamenting about it throughout his life either. He doesn't have to be lamenting about it. How I am going to live in this world. So from that is a state of bhakti what Srinarada Maharshi is discussing here. Srinarada Maharshi is discussing that state of bhakti where one is completely free from all attachment to this world, no obligations, duties, or any kind of commitments in this world, when one is freely able to surrender to Krishna in that state. So, so this is, Krishna also makes this statement in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Ananyas chindayandomam ye jana parivasade tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. What Krishna is saying there is that one who has taken completely surrendered to Krishna, that it is, Krishna says, it is his responsibility to make sure that that person maintenance in this world is Krishna's responsibility. Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham. That does not mean that everything what we ask for, Krishna will provide. What it means is that He will not starve in this world, or what is essential things, He will get it from somewhere. That's, if you have to read the history of great devotees, you will see this, how Krishna has protected them and looked after them in that state. When Mahabali, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, when Mahabali wanted to donate, wanted to give the charity, isn't it, 3 feet of land to Vamana Murthy, at that time Shukracharya stopped that, saying to him, Sarvasam Vishnave Dattva Muda Vartishyase Katham. He says, if you hand over everything to Vishnu, how are you going to maintain yourself? He asked that question there, isn't it? So, so the answer to that, Mahabali answered at that time, very nicely to Shukracharya. He says, when he was sent, Mahabali, after he surrendered everything to Vishnu, Vishnu says to Mahabali, that, Rakshishe sarvatoham tvam sanugam sabarichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drishyase bhavan. In the Bhagavadam, when Mahabali surrenders to Vamanamurti, Vamanamurti came to beg 3 feet of land. And Mahabali gave him 2 feet and the 3rd feet he could not offer. So he showed his head and said to Vamanamurti, now you can put your 3rd feet on my head. Because there is quite a few things spoken there in the Bhagavadam, that Mahabali put the condition to Vamanamurti, you should not expand yourself like the way you did when you put the first 2 measures, first time when you measure the first 2 feet. If you won't do that, I will complete my promise. Because Vamanamurti started asking Mahabali, you promised me you will give me 3 feet of land, but now with the 2 feet everything is finished, where should I put the 3rd feet? He asked that question, isn't it? Vamanamurti asked that question to Mahabali. So Mahabali says to Vamanamurti, if you give me a guarantee that you won't use the same measuring tape what you have used for the first 2 feet. Because when he asked for the 3 feet, that was not the measuring tape, it was a different measuring tape. He thought 3 feet of land for a little boy, 5-6 years old boy, how much can it be, 3 feet of land he could offer. But so, changing the goalpost, Vamanamurti did that, isn't it? He changed it and he said, this is my measuring tape. And he started measuring. From 1 feet he measured the whole earthly planet, another one the whole heavenly planet, and the 3rd feet there was no place. So it was then that Mahabali said this to Vamanamurti, that if you won't expand yourself in that way, use your original feet, what you had when you asked me this question, then I can give you the 3rd feet, some space for that, he says. So Vamanamurti put his feet on Mahabali's head. Actually, Vamanamurti felt a little bit guilty at that time with Mahabali. Many Bhagavata scholars' opinion is like that. Somebody has surrendered to you, and not only the normal surrender. Mahabali's surrender is very famous, isn't it? Mahabali's surrender, he had to break his vow to the spiritual master. Shukracharya is standing next to him and telling him, don't surrender. He is Vishnu, he will take away everything. So first he has to reject his spiritual master. Then all this, Vamanamurti was offered so many things in the beginning. Vamanamurti said, I don't want any of those things. Chariots, and then even he asked him whether do you want a wife? I can arrange that, because of his size was so short, to find a matching girl was difficult. So, in them days, that was the system, that if Brahmachari wants to get married, he could go to the king and ask for, the king's duty is to find the girl for the Brahmachari to get married. So all this happened, and in spite of all that, he surrendered. Mahabali surrendered. So, Krishna felt, Vamanamurti felt at that time, that I have punished him too much. And now, if I don't offer him something substantially, it will be a bad reflection on me. Krishna felt that. And that is why, Krishna, if you remember the background of this thing, Mahabali went to heavenly planets and fought with Indra. And heavenly planets, he took control. Indra lost the heavenly planet. Indra goes and complains to his mother, Aditi Devi. Aditi Devi went to complain to Kashyapa Prajapati. Kashyapa Prajapati instructed Aditi Devi to perform this particular Payavratam and please Krishna. Accordingly, Aditi Devi did and Vamanamurti appeared. So, originally, who is the cause of all this? Indra was the problem. Indra lost his kingdom. That's where it started, which Mahabali has taken over. Now, Mahabali lost everything now. Whole thing has gone and Krishna is feeling it, I have done something wrong here. This is a feeling of guilt in Krishna's heart. When you see that verses, you will notice in the Bhagavata. What did Krishna do at that time? I'll give you, because Krishna says to Indra that it is not possible to take it back from Mahabali, because Mahabali's Brahmanical nature is very high. He is greatest in charity. Brahmanyanam balistvam. Among the Brahmanical quality, although Mahabali was born in Asura nature, race, Brahmanyanam balistvam, in Brahmanyam quality, you can't beat Mahabali. He is such a great soul. So how to get it out of him? So if you had to get it out of him, and Vamanamurti told Aditi Devi, that I will try. He didn't make a promise there. I'll try to get it. Somehow or the other I'll try, but it is difficult from Vamanamurti. On the one hand, Vamanamurti says to Aditi Devi, I am very pleased with your bhakti. Payavratam she performed, isn't it? Indra's mother performed Payavratam and he was very pleased. But I can't guarantee you the result, he says. That's how Vamanamurti said to Aditi Devi. So here you can notice that after Mahabali surrendered everything, Indra hasn't surrendered anything. Mahabali has surrendered everything. Although he has in control, he was willing to hand over everything to Krishna, Vamanamurti. So Vamanamurti was feeling. So Vamanamurti decided, I will send you to a place which is even better than Indralogam. That is why he was sent to Sudanam. Sudanam was given to Mahabali. And when he was going to Sudanam, he says to Mahabali that there will be a little difference between Indra's planet and Sudanam. What is the difference? In Indralogam, all the time enemies will come and they will attack Indra. When Hiranyakashipu walked in, Indra had to run. When Tarakasura came, Indra had to run. Every time Indra runs from there. But in Sudanam, it won't be like that. Why? Retrishye sarvadoham tum sanugam sabirichadam. I will be standing outside as a watchman, the gatekeeper, Mahabali's gatekeeper. This is the verse which says that Krishna felt it was not, justice was not done to Mahabali. And not only that, he says to Mahabali, when Indra vacates that post, you will be the one in that post. So after all, it's all consoling Mahabali. That is the beauty of surrender. To say to us that when one is surrendered to Krishna, he is never a loser. But to get to that state is very difficult, like the way Mahabali did to surrender to Krishna. So that's what it is saying there. That sarvasam vishnuvedatva, he has to fight against the spiritual master. We think that spiritual master is everything, isn't it? What's a spiritual master? How can you go against the spiritual master's words? So that's naturally that question will come. So Shukracharya, that too, Shukracharya, such a powerful personality. And he was willing to defy, because he says, Mahabali's words, if you look there, you will see that all people are performing sacrifices to please whom? Vishnu. And that Vishnu has come here in the form of Vamanamurti. So what is the purpose of all these sacrifices you are telling me to do? That is that Mahabali's sincerity, that's what you have to appreciate there. So sincere he was that when he surrendered, Krishna couldn't say anything, one word to him. Krishna says, goes to Sudalam and your grandfather also can go with you. You can all live there happily and the happiness is as good as Indralokam, in heavenly planets, Indra's planets. Plus, added to that, I'll be waiting outside as a watchman so long as you are living in the Sudalam, which is a little on a higher level. Krishna has put Mahabali than Indra. So, Rakshishe sarvadoham tam sanigam sabirichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drikshade bhavan. You can always see me standing outside ready with the gun. He says, I'll be there with the watchman, the standing gatekeeper. I'll be there, Krishna says, Vamanamurti says that. So, after many years, after Mahabali went there with Prahlada and all that, somebody went to test whether he's there outside or not. And our great friend Ravana. Ravana goes there to find out if he... If. So Ravana went there and he got the real test. What happened was that he went there and he wanted to see Mahabali. They are friends. Mahabali and Ravana are friends, isn't it? So Ravana goes to see Mahabali and Mahabali was inside the inside his palace. Ravana wanted to walk in straight away. And Vamanamurti, who was there, put the rod, like, you know, in front of the car, that thing falls like this. It fell. He put the stick there. And Ravana got angry with him. And Ravana wanted to punish him. So he says to, Vamanamurti says to Ravana, the boss is busy inside. He is busy with his worship. When he is free, I'll call you. That time you can go. Ravana says to Vamanamurti that I don't look at others' permission. I just go. He doesn't... I don't need a permission to go and see Mahabali, he says. Vamanamurti says it won't work. I am here for that, he says. So he stopped Ravana. Ravana wouldn't agree. Vamanamurti gave him a kick. He came down, fell upside down, to came and fell in Lanka. Later on, you will see that in the Bhagavatam. Vamanamurti, Ravana going to test there. And Vamanamurti was present there to prove that Vamanamurti was still present there. So, Rakshishe Sarvadohantam Sanugam Sabirichadam Sada Sanihidam Veera Tatramam Drakshade Bhavan. The Tatramam Drakshade Bhavan is that you can always see me. Mahabali was always seeing Vamanamurti standing outside to protect this palace from the enemies. So, Krishna gave this special benediction to Vamanamurti. It was at that time that Krishna wanted to complete that sacrifice which they were performing at that time in the Narmada river bank, where they were doing this Bhrigukacham, it's called that place, and where the sacrifice was going on. So Mahabali wanted to... Mahabali is gone now. Who will complete the sacrifice? Mahabali is gone. So he asked Shukracharya to complete the sacrifice. Vamanamurti asked Shukracharya. Shukracharya was not interested. Shukracharya was thinking that the whole thing has become a flop, that Mahabali did not listen to him, and he was sent to Sudalam and comfortably. Now, what have I got in this? Shukracharya was thinking like that. Krishna didn't want to disappoint Shukracharya. See how kind Krishna is. Anyone who has come to contact with Krishna, somewhere or the other, is profited always. He's never a loser. What did Krishna say to Shukracharya? He said to Shukracharya that that I want to give you something, but this something what I'm going to give it to you will be so well known, as long as Srimad Bhagavatam or any, so long as I am glorified in this world, you will be glorified with me. How did that happen? I will appear in the dynasty of your daughter. Shukracharya's daughter was Devayani, and Devayani's family appeared Krishna, isn't it? That dynasty, if you look, you will see that Shukracharya, Sharmishta, Devayani, Sharmishta and Devayani were Yayadi's children, isn't it? Yadu was Yayadi's son. In that Yadu's dynasty, Krishna has appeared. So, naturally, Krishna has given the guarantee to Shukracharya that it will be in that dynasty that I will appear. In that dynasty, I will appear. Devayani's children were Sharmishta and Devayani. Yayadi had two wives. You can see that in the ninth canto, isn't it? Out of Devayani, Yadu, Turvasu, two children. Druhyu, Anidruhyu and Puru, three from Sharmishta. Sharmishta had three children. Druhyu, Anidruhyu and Puru. Devayani was Shukracharya's daughter. From Devayani, Yadu and Turvasu came. In that Yadu dynasty, Krishna came. Yadava he is called because of that. So that was sufficient for Shukracharya, was very pleased that Krishna is going to appear as in my lineage. In my lineage. That pleased Shukracharya. So all that scene when Mahabali surrendered, all happened very well. And at that time, he says there, Krishna says to Mahabali, it is my duty that to protect you, and I'll be standing there outside in the to protect the Sutalam planet all the time. This guarantee was given by Krishna to Mahabali. Then another example in the Bhagavatam, Sudama story. If you like look at there, you will see there Kuchela has, so there Mahabali was protected. Why we were saying all these things was Krishna looks after the devotee, but depending on the surrender. Depending on the surrender. So Sudama's case also you will see, out of poverty he had no time for earning a living even. Because he was so poor that he had only time for Krishna consciousness. Sudama's state was like that. There was no time for making a living or any. If we live, we live. If we don't live, it doesn't live. That doesn't matter. This was Sudama's nature. And Sudama's wife was in that state, was not in that state. She's still thinking, how do I maintain, run the family, run the home? That was wife's state, Sudama's wife. But Sudama had no consideration at all. Sudama was all concerned about Krishna. So out of that interest, Kujela, because she insisted, Sudama went to see Krishna. And when he came back, when Sudama came back, if you look at the words in the Bhagavatam, it says, Kimidam kasyavasthanam katham tadidam ityabhut, he says. Kimidam kasyavasthanam, have I come back to the right place? Because of the opulences, what was there, he says. So, thinking about Sudama's state prior to going to Dwaraka, and when he came back and saw the opulence there, Sudama's statement was that Kimidam kasyavasthanam katham tadidam ityabhut. That, am I come to the right place or come to the wrong place now? Why is all these changes have happened? Because even in his dreams, he had no desire to get anything from Krishna. That's what it is. That he never thought in that direction at all, that Krishna is going to give me something, or Krishna is going to take away my poverty. He was not bothered about that. That is that realized state. That self-realized state is that what it is showing. That from the Atmanyanam, knowledge of the soul happens, maintenance of the body, maintenance of our family and all that is not an issue anymore. It leaves him. That is why self-realization is the answer even to the poverty, the problem of poverty. So, everything once offered to Krishna, it is Krishna's duty to take care of it after that. So, we'll stop that today.